This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
News Radio 1070 WINA, my name is Coy Barefoot, and I am honored to have in the studio Tim Longo, the Chief of Police for the Charlottesville Police Department. Thank you for stopping by. I know you are...
I'm happy to.
You're busy. That's an understatement to say that you're busy. But
I'm a little busy these days, but I have time for you.
Thank you very much. Let's just get right to it. We have reports, and it seems to be increasing. We have reports, and I could be wrong about that, but reports of kids, looks like gang activity, kids sort of all wearing the same thing, white T-shirts and jeans, jumping people downtown on West Main Street and... you know, not killing anybody, not really even robbing anybody, but jumping them and beating them up. They've sent some people to the hospital. Bring us up to speed about what's going on, because I know a lot of people are very concerned about this.
Yeah, we've had a number of incidents over the past several months. And, you know, I can give you statistics and numbers, and we can talk about increases and decreases. That really doesn't matter. There's a tremendous perception people have, particularly downtown, that things aren't going well from a safety perspective. And whether I can say the numbers are up or down doesn't matter. I got to deal with that perception. I got to deal with it in a proactive way. So that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, the discussion has come up, are these gangs, could they be gangs? Well, you know, whether they're gangs or they're not gangs, I still have a number of assaults that I have to deal with. We'll sort out the motivation that brought those groups together and the kind of why that are behind these attacks once we have somebody in custody. But right now we're focusing on putting together a strategy and have put together a strategy that has to not only help us identify and apprehend a suspect, but prevent future attacks from occurring. And that's hard work. And it may look easy on its surface. But when you're looking at a situation where there's victims who don't always get the best look at the suspect, when you're dealing with 12 and 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids who live in a culture where snitching ain't cool, it's a tough thing to try to get to. But we're working on it. We're working on it very hard. Number of physical resources, that is human beings, working around the clock, talking to kids, talking to parents, talking to people in the community. And I'm pretty confident we're going to have a successful conclusion, but it's going to take time.
Tim Longo is chief of the Charlottesville Police Department. And if we can, I should have started here, but as by way of overview, remind us again, when we say the Charlottesville Police Department, what are we talking about in terms of the budget, in terms of manpower, that kind of thing?
We're authorized 117 sworn police officers. I have about 35 civilians that work in an administrative and support capacity. About 58 to 60 of those 117 are actually uniformed police officers. The balance are investigators, school resource officers, neighborhood services officers. But we have about 58 to 60 assigned to the patrol division, which is what the most visible component of the department, the guys and gals in uniforms driving marked police vehicles. So when you say the Charlottesville Police Department, you're talking about a finite number of about 117. We presently have... I believe 8 actual vacancies. That is, there's a job number and there's just not a person sitting in it presently. I have another 8 people in training. That makes 16 operational vacancies. So deduct that from that 117. You're down to 101. The majority of those vacancies probably affect our patrol force. So you're not dealing with a large contingent of people.
Do we know who these kids are? I mean, do we have an idea?
Oh, absolutely. I think we have a more than a fair idea of just who we're dealing with. Again, you still got to put a case together.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't drive by their house and say, hey, we're pretty sure it was you.
Yeah, I would. I'll bet my next paycheck it was you. Come with me and we're going to stand you in front of a judge and prosecute you. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, police work, our gut is usually right. Our suspicions are usually correct.
Yeah.
Particularly when you've done this for 26 years, and I have. But I still have to put a case together that can be prosecuted.
Yeah. We are a country of laws, and that's what you depend on.
As well, we should be.
Yeah, and you have to build a case if you're going to take somebody in and prosecute them.
Sure, there's a system of checks and balances, and we have to satisfy those checks and balances. And when we move forward with an arrest, not only are we saying we have probable cause to believe this person committed a crime, but what we're also saying is we feel confident that this is a case that's worthy of prosecution that can sustain a successful prosecution and result in a guilty finding.
Tim Longo is chief of Charlottesville Police. It is encouraging to me, and it's I know a lot of people listening, it's going to be encouraging to them, that you do have a clear sense when you and your men and women sit down around a table, y'all pretty much know who you're talking about. You have an idea, the neighborhood, the kids. You have a clear picture than has been portrayed in the press. You really know sort of what's going on and who's behind it.
And, you know, the picture gets clearer every day. It's frustrating when you sit, particularly in my seat, and I pay attention to what people say in the community. I read the blogs. I read every one of them. I know who the proponents are, and I know who the opponents are with respect to the various issues I'm confronted with every day. And it's frustrating for me not to be able to say, here's exactly what's being done, so that you have a clear understanding that this is a competent police agency that has a clue about how to do police work in a very competent and aggressive way. But I can't do that all the time because there's a certain tactical advantage.
Just to being quiet and keeping your mouth shut.
To keep your mouth shut.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You kind of hold your cards close to your chest and play them out in a way that's going to, in the long term, get you the desired result, which is someone in custody and a case that can be prosecuted.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we still have a downtown that at certain times is dangerous. And we how should we proceed forward now, knowing that y'all are at work on it,
yeah,
that you have a clear idea of what's going on and who perhaps is involved? Yeah. What should we be doing on our end?
We look back 7 years. We went back to 2000. Just recently, and I asked the crime analyst, I said, show me the simple and aggravated assaults over this 7 year period downtown, time of day, day of week, trends, so I can get an idea of frequency. And no surprises. They happen between midnight and two, about the same time people are getting out of bars, leaving restaurants late at night. They happen streets like Water Street and East Market Street and West Main Street, areas where typically they're the parking lots and where the venues themselves are located. And here's another surprise. They happen on Friday and Saturday nights. So it's easy to kind of, from a victimology perspective, be careful when you're leaving a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, be more so than ever, more attentive about what's going on around you and be mindful of 4 or 5 or 10 individuals that happen to be walking in your direction. By that same token, if persons would say, well, then it should be easy to catch them. So if you just surveil these areas during those times, I bet you'll get lucky. And that's precisely what we've been doing. This past weekend was pretty aggravating for us because we had a large contingent of people out, both in uniform and plain clothes. And the attacks took place just a little later than they had previously, and so now we have to look at the scheduling and make the appropriate adjustments and not redeploy resources but expand the number of resources. The problem with saturation patrols, or that is saturating an area with cops and hoping to catch a criminal, it's not a sustainable plan. You can't do that, but for very long, and then
we're not Beirut here. I mean, you're not going to put a guy with the M16 on every corner.
We're a finite number of resources, and there will only be a matter of time that the problem relocates, or that another problem, God forbid, more severe, crops up someplace else, and then guess what? We got to move the resources. So, really, got to be careful not to just simply rely on saturation deployment and hope for the best. We got to be a little bit more thoughtful than that.
My guest is Tim Longo. He is chief of the Charlottesville Police Department, and we're honored to have him in studio. We're going to talk about the cameras in just a minute, but
okay.
Sort of related to that is, are we as a community, are we giving enough money to the police department? Because there's money there. I mean, Charlottesville spends the money. They certainly have the money, and we could move some around. Are we spending enough? I mean, when you look at Charlottesville compared to a city of its size with a major university, are we understaffed? Are we too small? Should we be a bigger department?
Well, if you look at strictly a population-based formula, which some cities do, we're probably larger than some would anticipate as an organization. However, I don't think that you should just look at a population-based formula. I think you need to look at the fact that you have a large university that has 25,000 students and 14,000 some odd employees that come to work there every day. We have an expectation as a community to do and perform a concept of problem-oriented or community policing that requires resources, that requires me to be able to dedicate, at some point, resources in larger numbers to particular areas to do long-term problem solving. So do I think the department needs to grow? Yes, as the community. And I know we will never be more than 10.7 square miles, but look at the investment in development that's taking place downtown. It's the Field of Dreams saying that if you build it, they will come. And we've built a great downtown, and they're showing up.
Yeah.
And that's going to expand all the way up West Main Street. And we need resources to be able to police that in a very effective way. So I anticipate that the department will have to grow. It will also have to grow if, in fact, some of the gang problems that there's very, very visible in parts of the valley where some of those gangs are centered around methamphetamine markets. If that activity begins to really take root here in this community, that's going to require a number of resources. And one thing to keep in mind is, you know, we can't stand up a contingent of resources in this business very quickly. It takes a long time to hire, to recruit, and then hire a police officer, send them through our regional academy, send them through a 13-week field training program. So it takes almost a year once you hire them to really get them out there on their own. So it's a long and tedious and expensive process to undertake. From an investment standpoint, I think one of the things we'll have to continue to concentrate on is what we pay police officers to do this job. It's a tough job to begin with. It's oftentimes misinterpreted, misunderstood, thankless, some would say. But it's an honorable profession. But it's difficult to find people to do it, particularly for $36,000 a year. So we'll have to be prepared to make an investment in salary and benefits for police officers to keep this an attractive organization to be part of. And that means growing a budget. But the question really is not for me to answer. It's for the community. How much do you want to invest in the safety of your community? Because at the end of the day, every year the city and the counties put together a budget. The voice of the community is important to that process, and it needs to be. If policing is important, then that's the message that needs to be communicated. I mean, the pie is only so big, and it's typically sliced in a fairly even way to meet all the needs of every department across whatever jurisdiction we happen to be talking about. And if the bigger needs in public safety from a community perspective, then that's the message that needs to be communicate it.
Tim Longo is the chief of Charlottesville Police. You and I have talked before about the fact that we're seeing more developers wanting to build high-rises downtown, bring more businesses and a lot more people living downtown. 10, 15, 20 years from now, we are going to be seeing thousands of more people living downtown than we do now.
Oh, absolutely. You can guarantee that will be the case. And we typically understand the importance of bricks and mortar and a sewage system that's capable of dealing with dense populations or that type of growth. And we sometimes forget the need to make sure that we protect those assets. And by that, I mean factoring in the fact that, you know, it's going to mean hiring 10 more cops or 20 more cops or 30 more cops. And as you said before, that's not just what's it going to cost to hire them. It's what's it going to cost to train them and equip them, the impact on our pension system.
Healthcare,
yeah. Which is huge. We have our own pension system here in Charlottesville. We're not part of the Virginia retirement system, as a lot of police agencies are. We have our own pension here, and frankly, it's a pretty good one, particularly with respect to the health care. And if we want to keep it, because it is such an attractive recruitment tool, it's going to cost money to be able to accomplish that.
I'm talking with Tim Longo. He is the chief of the Charlottesville Police Department. We're going to take a quick break. More after this. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You're listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, thanks to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to comment on our blog at sevillepodcast.com.
News Radio 1070 WINA, my name is Coy Barefoot, and you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. My guest is Tim Longo, the chief of the Charlottesville Police Department. We've been talking about the recent string of assaults that have occurred downtown. I have read recently on one of the blog postings that somebody said, you know, if you're out and you see kids that even remotely match this description, one thing that we should all do is just walk up and say hello. Would you recommend that to because it seems like their anonymity is part of their strength. Do you recommend something like that, that citizens just sort of walk up and say, hi, how are you? What's your name?
What I'd rather them do is pick up the phone and call the police. Everybody's got a cell phone. If you're suggesting to me that I see a group of kids that I don't feel comfortable about, that I feel as though maybe involved in these series of attacks or behaving in such a way that I don't feel comfortable, I'm beginning to feel unsafe, call the police. We've put in place a pretty strict response protocol to deal with these situations over the past several weeks. The problem we're having, Coy, is that some of these victims aren't even calling the police, or they're not calling the police until sometime after this took place. So we don't have the benefit of getting there quickly and trying to apprehend a suspect. It's almost as though there's either a sense of hopelessness and that, well, why bother? Because they may not catch him anywhere, or I may not be in a position to be able to identify anybody, or the police may not be able to really do much about this bad situation, or it's simply an afterthought. I wasn't going to report it, but maybe I ought to. And 30 minutes later, I'm getting a phone call, and that isn't the preferred way to respond to this situation.
That's got to be incredibly frustrating for you and your team. To know that, hey, we can help, but you got to ask for it.
Absolutely.
I mean, just if please pick up the phone and let's make sure that folks hear this. I want to underscore what you just said, that we should pick up the phone absolutely if we have any suspicions of anything that's going on.
You know, we respond to reports of what are typically, from a dispatch standpoint, dispatched as suspicious circumstances all the time, every day, many, many, many times a day. We're happy to do that. And sometimes those suspicious circumstances lead us to identifying people that are either wanted for other crimes, maybe in possession of weapons, maybe involved in other illegal activity, when we get there and we're able to assess the situation. But when they don't call, when we don't get the information from the community, sometimes it's a hindrance. And certainly more than a help.
Tim Longo is the chief of the Charlottesville Police Department. Let's talk about the cameras. I have spoken about them briefly on my program. I'm one of those folks who's not convinced that we need to spend the money on these things, but I'm also not close-minded about it, and I'm willing to be educated. Get us up to speed about what we're talking about when we... some folks out there that are listening may have just read a headline and they may not know exactly what we're talking about.
We started looking at leveraging technology, in this particular case, cameras, around our public buildings and our public access points. The mall is an access point to many public buildings that keep this city operational. We refer to those buildings as critical infrastructure. We began assessing the vulnerability of those buildings after 9/11. And part of that was looking at the mall and seeing if we could leverage video technology to help protect those assets and the entrance gate to our public buildings. We found it to be fairly cost prohibitive because at that time we were looking at a fiber-based system. There's no fiber that runs down the mall, so we'd have to go off to Water Street and Market Street, and that gets very expensive. So we never moved forward with beyond the initial assessment of that. As the east end of the mall began to get further developed, and I'm speaking to the Pavilion and the Transit Center, we again looked at the possibility of leveraging this technology. It was a bit cheaper, but there didn't seem to be a public will or even the internal political will to accomplish it. After the tech incident, I again directed a vulnerability assessment of our public buildings and at the same time said, let's look at them all again. Let's look at leveraging technology that's getting cheaper and much more effective than it ever was before. That brought us to our most recent proposal. As far as the cost effectiveness of it, the money that would fund that project is money that's already been appropriated into the capital improvement program for mall renovations. So whether we use it on cameras or repairing bricks, and there's several million dollars, as I understand it, that's been dedicated to that, the money would be used on the mall. It's not $300,000 that could be used to hire more cops or $300,000 that could be used to pay more overtime. this money's already been appropriated from all renovations, and it's sitting there in account specifically for that purpose.
Now, I never knew that. That could have been out there, but I never picked up on that. And that's very interesting that this is not new money that you're asking be spent on this. This is money that's already been allocated to improve the mall.
That's correct.
Largely with the idea that we need to redo the bricks because they're all coming up and they're a mess. But
sure, and there's lighting issues that roll into that as well.
Sure, but you're asking the city, hey, for all those millions of dollars that you have sitting in a kitty to fix up the mall, can we use some of that to install cameras?
To leverage technology, absolutely. And I don't, anytime someone says, hey, let's give the chief more police officers to do a better job, I'm happy to accept that money and those officers, but the reality is I got 8 vacancies already. I have to fill them first. If you appropriate more funds to give me more officers and you increase the size of, or the table of organization of my department, you've pushed me back that much further to get those positions filled. We're having a hard time around the country filling those positions. So it may be that, yep, we now have more authority to hire more cops, but the reality is you may not see those police officers for a long, long time. Meanwhile, let's leverage technology and think of other ways to help us better police the community, whether it be the mall or somewhere else. Folks have suggested, well, gee, let's look at the crime rate on the mall. Is it really that dangerous on the mall? Or maybe these cameras would be beneficial someplace else. Look, I'll put the cameras wherever you want me to put them. The reason the mall was chosen because I think it's an asset that needs to be protected. It's also the gateway to our public buildings, and a lot of people are down there at any given time. And I think where this technology can be most beneficial are areas that have a heavy traffic pattern, particularly pedestrian foot traffic, and that's where it's been successful in other communities. Now, will it prevent crime? I think it has a preventative effect, particularly if it's monitored in real time. The cameras are strategically placed, and it's good equipment where you're not just seeing an image, but you're seeing very clearly an individual that you may be looking at that's engaged in criminal behavior. I also think the fact that people know they're there sometimes has a preventative effect. But I think the more easily measured success factor in cameras is in the retrospective investigation of crime, where you're going back and looking at an event that's already happened. You're identifying a suspect, and that image is being used in the successful prosecution of that case. And I said before, and I think if Mr. Chapman, our Commonwealth attorney, I think if he were asked, he would tell you that there have been cases that type of technology has been very helpful in helping him prove his criminal case. So,
well, we know they used it in London to follow those guys who planted those bombs just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and that's an excellent example of a community that's had this for a long time. And you know, the other reality is that we could go in the mall right now, and I could point out cameras to you that already exist in businesses. They're in every bank. There are cameras on the grounds of the University of Virginia. There are cameras in the Charlottesville School Division. There are cameras in even some small shops and restaurants on the downtown mall. There's a camera that happens to be affixed on the carousel that sits right in front of the post office.
Yeah.
That people walk in front of every day.
Well, the Hook had a camera. The Hawes had one in his window right on the movie theater in Christian's Pizza for a long time. I don't know if it's still operational.
I think it is, but it doesn't record. It's strictly a webcam. You can go up and see the image, and I think there's some type of delay. It might be a 15-second delay in what you're seeing as opposed to what it's shooting.
But these cameras are not, just so folks understand, we're not talking about webcams here.
No.
Explain to us the technology as you understand it at this point, and I know it's something that you probably learn more about every day.
You're asking the wrong guy. you know, we want to acquire a piece of equipment again that's going to be high end enough that we're not seeing shadows or grainy images, but clear images of activity that could be taking place. Color, zoom, tilt, pan, very functional equipment that would be recording all the time. And that could be capable of being monitored in real time if we, choose to do that, which I believe we should, but that would require personnel. It doesn't have to be sworn police personnel, but it would require to have people there to be able to do that. Those people would have to know what to look for and then be able to communicate that directly in a very immediate way to the police. There's also then the discussion of, Well, who would have access to those images, and for what purpose would they be used, and how long would you store it? If you're recording this, how long would you keep that data? Would you keep it for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days? So those are all questions that will need to be ironed out in the policy development stage of this project. And the commitment I made to council was, when I come back to you with the bids or the responses to our request for proposal, I'll also give you some model policies to look at, so we can have, as we move forward, a better understanding of how we would use this equipment.
So right now, here in late July 2007, we're sort of investigating this, just this idea as a community. We're sort of trying to put more facts on the table so a decision can be made.
The final decision will have to come from council, and we've gone much further than we've ever gone before with this discussion. And whether it be because people are concerned about increasing crime or safety issues, I'm hearing more support for this discussion now than I heard 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I think if I'd have pushed this in 2001 or 2003 very hard, I probably would not have gotten this far. But I think people are becoming concerned. But I also think people are saying, you know what? If it's useful technology, why not use it? If it can supplement the police department's efforts in some fashion. And after all, we've made a huge investment downtown, and we've made investments all over our community. If we can use this technology to our advantage, why not? Particularly if the funds have already been identified and are there and are going to be used anyway to do mall renovation work.
Tim Longo is the chief of the Charlottesville Police Department. We have a couple, 3 minutes left here. Assuming, and I don't, none of us want this to happen, but should there be another report here in a week or two or three of an assault downtown? We would like the report to be that there have been arrests and that there's a case that's being put together. And I know you're working on that.
I would very much like to report that.
But if there is another one, what do you want people to think about? What should we be thinking about? Because the last thing we want is for everybody to stand up and say, you know, nothing's working. What are we going to do? We don't want it to explode and be a huge mess. So what would you want people to be thinking about, members of this community?
In the meantime, between this moment in time and that moment in time, I would like them to be thinking about ways that they can reach out to their own kids or to the leaders in their community to sit down and say, you know, people have to be talking about this. Young people have to be talking about this either in their homes or amongst themselves. And I suspect that there are adults that have some suspicions about where their kids may be on a Friday and Saturday night, particularly at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when they're not home.
And these are kids.
And they're 12, 14,
I mean, these aren't 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
That's correct.
These are kids.
I think we need to sit down with those parents and say, let's talk. Let's talk to your kids. Let's see what they know about this. But I can't emphasize enough, these young people are growing up in an era where this no snitch mentality, snitching's dishonorable, don't tell on your friends, is really hampering our ability to be able to extract information. And we're doing the best we can. I guess the other message would to be hopeful and to have confidence that we're leveraging every resource we have to prevent these attacks, and most importantly, to get the people who are responsible for them. I can't lay out our strategies. I can't do that. As much as folks would like me to say, tell me exactly what you're doing, I can't do that. That's not within our business protocol.
Right, right.
But trust that we're doing everything that we know can legally be done to identify and bring these folks to justice.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in this afternoon, and I want to thank you for your service to our community and the service of all the men and women who work for you in the department, who are very underpaid. Let's just admit it. They're underpaid and they're underappreciated for the work that they do. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Tim Longo is the chief of police at the Charlottesville Police Department. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.